My name is Maceo.
My name is Puno.
And this is our podcast.
It's fun! With Puno.
And Maceo. Maceo and Puno.
It's Puno and Maceo.
Whatever.
Okay. What question were you asking, Maceo?
How did you meet?
Oh, no. I thought you were going to ask us like our setup.
Yeah. Okay. So let's do this. Let's start.
How did you meet in this room?
Let's do this like one of those movies, right? Where you're like, okay, paint me a picture of where you are now, and then we'll go from now back.
Okay. So,
but like zoom all the way in, right, to your current moment, and then expand out like into your apartment, and then expand out into like your life. But you know, you guys can interrupt each other.
Yeah, like zoom out. So right now, I'm one finger away from the mic, and Daniel is two fingers away from the mic.
No, I'm one finger away from the mic, but two fingers away from you.
Okay, good point.
And we're sitting in our office. I have my Blue Yeti mic at the corner of my desk, and Daniel's got a chair next to it. We're in our office in downtown LA, and it is 2:51 p.m. We just had burgers.
Yeah, maybe zoom back and maybe zoom way out to how you got to
college.
Yes, perfect.
Let's zoom to college.
Well, so I don't know if Daniel even knows why he's on the podcast, because you know me, I don't really tell him things.
Yeah. Well, this is why, because college, we met, and now I'm on the podcast. Ultimately,
you need to be closer.
That's why.
Also, Daniel doesn't talk that loud, so we have to get him closer.
So even though I'm one finger away from the mic, I'm always actually three fingers away just because of my volume.
Right. You need to get closer.
But the reason why we wanted to have Daniel on the podcast. Also, Maceo, this is Daniel's first podcast interview.
Hot.
That's so hot. But yeah, Maceo, why don't you tell Daniel why we wanted him on the podcast today?
So basically, Daniel, you were there for one of the earliest conversations about what this podcast was to be. Yes. And I think you were there when we decided that it would be called It's Fun.
Yes, I was there.
And so
I think I helped with that conversation.
I think you did, definitely. So pretty much what we're trying to do is talk to people about different aspects of life, trials and tribulations, career, life, romance, and how to keep or make them fun. And basically have a fun time doing that as well. This is a tricky thing. Because some of that, one episode in particular wasn't that fun. which I think we should just leave it in because it's like we reference it so much. Yeah, like, and then people are going to be like, we know what it was. And so
that would not be fun for that guest.
Right. Yeah. That would be. We have like a season long butt of a joke, and it's like their episode, and they're like, wait, which one?
And then they're like, mine was the only one that didn't get published.
Yeah. So basically what I was like interested in doing was talking to you two about, you know, being young and married and working together and how you even managed to do that. And how do you manage to keep that fun? I know that you have started multiple companies together. But I think Puno has started multiple projects with a bunch of people, and those aren't always sustainable. So, so how did you make this one work?
Aw, thanks.
Say that again.
Well, people do ask that a lot, and I think they come at it with an assumption that if you're going to collaborate with somebody, it has to be some kind of mind meld, where you're always like in lockstep, in sync, And it doesn't have to be. So if you can find a way to make it work other than that, then I think things last longer. So,
and so with relationships as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's I feel like things fall apart in collaborations because there's just a set of expectations at the beginning, and then if you're too rigid in those, then when you butt up against them and reality is encroaching on those expectations, then you think, oh well, this is not working, but maybe you just need to adjust your expectations.
Okay, so this will be a fun exercise for those that don't know Daniel, and actually maybe even for those that don't know Puno. Maybe we should, for a second, you each describe the opposite person in relationship to how you are similar and different.
So this is like those letters in Marriage Story.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I cried so hard.
Well, no. So I'm going to cry
at the end of the
episode. At the end of the podcast, I'll be reading yours by myself crying.
Right. Who's this boy? Why do I have a son? And he's adorable.
You gonna go first?
Me? Okay, I'll go first. What are we saying again? We're saying
describe
you. Daniel is, I think I'll start from the beginning. Daniel is very funny for me. And is such a great listener. And I think that's why he's so funny, because he's always like paying attention to everything. And then he, in terms of like our, oh, also he's very handsome. It reminds me of Cowboy Bebop. And sometimes like when his hair grows out, it looks like that. And he's skinny. You know, that like shape. That anime, like tuxedo mask shape. And yep. So I like that. And then, we always have really good conversations. Very comfortable now, more so especially, I'm very comfortable talking to him about anything. Like I remember one time when I was like drunk and I was telling one of my coworkers that I would have totally slept with him if I wasn't married. And then I think he took that as like, oh my God, you're basically cheating on Daniel. And I was like, no, I said. And then I went home and I told Daniel that, and a friend was with me and she was just really surprised about how honest we are, or I am, with him about everything. And then I think it's just because I did cheat on Daniel once when I was in college, and you were like, I remember I cried so hard because you were like, that's okay. I still love you. Or you didn't even say I still love you. You just like hugged me and you're like, I love you. And I was like, oh my God. So I knew that the worst thing that I ever could do to hurt him, he still loves me. Not to say keep doing things that hurt Daniel. But
so there are no consequences.
No, but like I can always, yeah, there really kind of aren't. There's no reason to lie.
Right. That's okay. Good. Okay.
But cool. There's also a lot of comfort in that. And then as a business partner, we were just talking about this the other day, how both of us are going to start working on I Love Creatives more. And we were just talking about the different skill sets we have. And we're kind of like, you know, if there's an NBA analogy, it's like both of us being on the court is really good. Like we're both kind of all-stars in the areas that we are skill set.
Okay, and can we pause that for a second?
Sure.
Who's got the like 20-foot end of the buzzer game, and who's got the like pound the paint under the backboard, you know, all day layup and the foul game?
I don't know basketball that well. Why did you choose a basketball analogy?
Yeah, why did you do that? It's like
you
stepped into.
Yeah, in the original discussion, there was no basketball analogy. I don't know why you decided to switch to the. but.
I meant bench. Bench analogy.
weirdly, I feel like we're both good at the like buzzer clutch situation for our different contexts. Like technically, I can handle that for the engineering stuff I do because I'm just like comfortable in that space. But in the stuff that you're doing, like a last minute meeting or, you know, talking to people on the fly, that's more stuff that you're good at. So, you know what I mean? It's like
I'm good at last minute meetings.
I guess so. To continuing the analogy, if somebody was really good at threes versus, I guess, like dunking, and it was the last minute and some guy's going to drive to the basket and dunk, the three guy is not going to do that. But if you need him to, you know, sink that three at the buzzer, then he can do that.
Got it. Right. Now, I thank you for saving that metaphor, David. Puno, I have no idea why I took that bait. And I was really actually very surprised that you even did that. I was like, oh, I didn't know you like were into basketball like that. That's great.
So like, totally, okay, like who's Akeem the Dream? Is that what you
mean? Yeah, don't use a like 40, a player who hasn't played in 40 years.
That's all I know about basketball.
You know, the thing about the way we run our businesses, we try to never have a buzzer situation. Mm-hmm. We want to like win the game before it even starts versus having to, you know, let it go down to the wire like that.
That's an Instagram quote.
Win the game before it starts.
Daniel.
Love it. Okay, so let's talk about that for a second. Which came first, the recognition that you guys could work together well, or that you know, were cool with each other and were, I don't know, that Puna liked Daniel's hair or whatever, like romantic?
Oh, yeah.
Or
it started with my hair. That's why we're, because, yeah, like knowing that we could work together, that is not something that I think anyone knows. Like you can never know before you do a thing whether you can do that thing. So we, especially when we first started working together, we just took it as an article of faith. Like we're going to try this and then it should work out because why not? But we didn't know. So, and I think a lot of the stuff we do in business, we approach that way. We try and plan for things. We try and like, if we have info, then we use it, but we don't always. And if we want the thing that comes out at the end, then we just go for it.
I would almost argue we plan very little.
Yeah.
We plan. Daniel doesn't like to plan.
No.
I am the planner, and I have learned that it's just a frustrating conversation.
That's
for both
so interesting
of us.
That you're the planner. I think that might be something that people tend to associate, like people that are outwardly creative in a sort of visionary way and extroverted in sort of the ability to like perform publicly, as somehow off the cuff, fly by the seat of the pants type of leaders, whereas, you know, a coder maybe archetype would be the one that's like planning.
I mean, I think it's because he is an engineer that is why he doesn't want to plan, because
you're talking about estimation, yeah, like, not planning per se, but specifically estimation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like you can't really estimate or feel comfortable about estimating on something you've never done before.
Right.
So what's there to plan?
Right. Let's plan for a picnic on Mars. And you're like, well, what should we bring? It's like, well, I've never been to Mars, so I really don't know.
But also take a step back. Why are we picnicking on Mars?
Right. It's like, what?
I'm suffocating. This is not romantic.
So that's my question, is like, you guys were already romantically involved, and you said, well, yeah, maybe let's try to do, I guess the first project I know about is Octoplace, but mm-hmm. at scale anyway. How did that cause tension at first? Like going from like, yeah, I just think you're my cool partner to now like, wait a minute, this is how you work?
Yes. Immediate tension.
Mm-hmm. Immediate tension. Well, we had a couple of side projects before. Remember when I was in advertising?
Yeah, we did a few of those.
We did What I Would Have Said. Mm-hmm. And What I Would Have Said was because he had just moved to Venice. This was 2007, 2006. And I wanted to learn Adobe Illustrator. So I started drawing celebrities. And then we would see celebrities like at Whole Foods, not even Whole Foods, but didn't even exist then. But we would just see them around Venice. And so we made like this, like a message board that had a celebrity on it, a new one every week. And you would write.
Illustrated.
Yeah. You would write what you would have said to Elijah Wood.
Yeah. And I wanted to just do programming projects. So it didn't even matter what it was. So I coded that up.
Uh-huh. And then it got a lot of porn on it.
I uploaded porn to it accidentally. As soon as you put anything out there with a form field that people can submit, the worst people on the planet somehow find it.
Yeah, they want to confirm that this is in fact the internet.
Let me put the mark on it.
Yeah. And then after that, we did, oh my God, the Facebook one, Octofeed. Mm-hmm. So Octofeed happened when I was at Activision. Daniel quit his job and was like, I'm just going to relearn programming for 2000, whatever it was. And
that's a good pause too. Mm-hmm. Where did Daniel work before? Because you worked at Activision.
I thought Daniel came from
like Star Trek.
I worked in the future. I was an enterprise application consultant for a few years, which is just there's like big pieces of software that big companies use, and there are consultants who.
Oh yeah, I know, like Microsoft AX Dynamics.
Never heard of that, but yeah.
Or like, what
that
about,
sounds right.
What about
Oracle?
Like, yeah, like Oracle or SAP. Yeah.
Yes.
SAP.
Yeah. So AX Dynamics is just a
SAP the life out of all your consultants.
A SAP.
Okay.
Competitor.
So ERP. Yeah.
It's ERP.
So I did that for a few years, and then we did like a quick little design project, Puno and I, to give me a different thing to put on my resume so I could put UX on my resume.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, because our friend Clay worked at Sapient and was like, you should come work here. And I was like, I don't have any skills for that. And so
nobody did, because that didn't exist.
That field was new. So it was very easy to have something on your resume. You just had to like do a project. So we just did that together. And then I used the connection to get in there. And then that was when I became a UX designer.
What was the project?
Well, it was, you mean the thing that we worked on?
Wait,
that was your Smash
you guys
World.
Go ahead. I mean,
no.
That's important.
Yeah.
But you guys were both UX designers?
No, I can't. Actually, when Daniel became a UX designer, then his boss was like, Puno, you should become a UX designer. And then I did the same thing.
Yeah, the reason that Puno was at Activision was because I had left Sapient, gone to Razorfish, and we had a project there. And so Tim, my boss, was like, who can we get on this? And then that's when Puno became a UX designer.
Because it was the project was for Activision. And he knew I worked for Activision.
Okay, let's zoom out.
Okay.
Let's zoom back to college. What did you guys major in and how did you meet?
I majored in electrical engineering and computer engineering.
And then I was in marketing, but not even. I barely passed college.
You did not pass go. You were in undergrad just doing whatever in the business school you do.
Messing around.
Yeah. We didn't meet in
Tell me the slow motion moment where you guys locked eyes and spun around.
Well, I have to tell it because Puna doesn't remember it. That's how memorable I was. I was in a dorm, off-campus dorm, and the RA who I had met there and was hanging out with was Puno's friend from high school, but he was a year ahead of you, right? So that's why he was there.
Oh, damn, you're older.
2 years.
I'm 2 years older, yeah.
Nice.
But then am I two
getting
years
the
older?
Young, you're getting the high school girls.
Getting them from Cradle Robber.
How old were you?
I was like 17.
Ouch, oh, okay. Buddy.
Good thing it didn't work out at that moment then. Yeah, because she came to visit him and then I was there in the dorm and that was the first time we met, but it was only for like 5 minutes. And I remembered it, but she didn't remember.
And were you like,
but you probably liked every girl you saw. Yeah, were you like your first time in America?
Yeah. I came for the women, and here was one before me.
Have women here, and look.
I hear you have women here,
and here you are. So you had come from Jamaica and just went to Texas.
Yeah, and then at the port, the guy was like, "So are you here for business or pleasure?" Women, sir. That's not one of the options.
No,
well, it should be.
He high-fived you.
He was like, "Yeah, young ones, right?"
Okay, and so were you like hard eyes emoji at that time? Or were you like...
Yeah. But that because of the reason she said, like, I had that for every woman. No, you were...
Girl crazy, you're, Daniel.
You're unusual. You're not like... you're much more approachable than most people.
Mm.
You also happen to be a woman. So you combine that approachability and your femaleness, you know, that's a winning combination.
You're not like other girls.
I know.
You're special.
Cool. Okay. And then so, Puno, you didn't remember this.
Yeah, I didn't remember because I have a bad memory. But also, yeah, I think I was meeting so many people at that dorm. That it was just like, where, like.
Mm-hmm. Also, I wasn't really putting my best foot forward at that time. I was, you know, new to the country, didn't want to break any rules.
You didn't want to, like, Jamaican me?
Yes.
You'd be like, yo, girl.
That might have got you to remember me, actually, so. But Kelly told you that, didn't he?
He didn't. That was the second time we met.
Okay.
And then I was like,
should have led with that.
Yeah. Always lead with the Jamaican thing. I always do that for you.
Such a crutch, though.
You're like that. You're like a prince who's like,
I can do it on my own.
That's nice.
So when we fell in love, I mean, like actually got together was
two years later.
I was doing mushrooms with my friend Nicole, and then Daniel decided to come with us because he was just at a party that we were at. And then we basically walked around campus till 7 a.m. and then Daniel and I ended up staying together, and then we just laughed. You basically did the entire Dave Chappelle set.
Mm-hmm.
And we just laughed about that until like 7:30 a.m. And then
so early.
And then you're about to leave. We didn't kiss or anything. And then I remember right before we leave, Daniel in the doorway puts his arm on the doorway, leans on it, like his forearm. Can you imagine that?
Picture this.
His forearm, he's leaning on it like some anime
guy. A cool guy.
Well, no, if it was cool like guy. An anime guy, it would have worked, but it was not like that at all.
And then I just laughed and I was like, bye.
Like you were trying to make a cool posture?
I guess I should have acted like it was a joke because you did treat it like a joke. So.
And then you're like,
you were making him
okay.
He's like, okay. And so then, do you think that? Because I hear this with married people, and I think this is in Marriage Story at some point. But do you feel like you are the same people you were then?
No.
I mean,
fundamentally yes.
Yeah,
like, what does that mean? Like, we still don't take each other or ourselves too seriously.
Oh, that's huge.
We value like humor and good vibes more than other things.
We don't really complain too much.
How do you deal with that? You know, like when, you know, Daniel, you're trying to go to sleep and, you know, Puno farts under the covers. Like, how do you manage conflict?
Fart right back. And then it's like a fart battle.
Right. Okay.
We don't have conflicts like that. The conflicts we have are usually not about whatever the thing is.
Oh gosh, like the dishwasher.
Right.
Wait, is this a real story or is it like a hypothetical?
Mm-hmm. Like one time, I don't know what was happening, but I just remember we were yelling and it was about the dishwasher. And it was around the time when we were building either Made with Map or something. And it was just very frustrating. And it was more about that than it was about the dishwasher. I don't give a mess about the dishwasher.
Marriage lesson.
Well, but even now you're still not about worried about the dishwasher.
That's true. I think I'm a little, you're also a little weird about the dishwasher.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it is. It's like,
once you have that weird moment, you can't unhave it.
It's because I think whenever we have weird moments, it's because we're not really communicating what we want to or what's going on in our head. We're holding back because we don't want to hurt the other person. That was kind of one of the biggest lessons I learned having a business together was our biggest problem is we make assumptions about what the other person wants and tries to be nice about it and acquiesce in a sense. Mm-hmm. And then you just never know. Like, as I've known Daniel now since, what, for like 2004? So for 16 years. Mm-hmm. But even nice. Today, the best decision to make is to never assume I know what he's thinking. Because I never will.
Right. Okay. So maybe what you're saying is like, you know each other, but you don't want to assume that you know each other too well.
Oh, yeah. And also, you know, even though we're fundamentally the same, like all these decisions that we're making are all new. So I actually don't know his perspective on it. And I also don't want to assume that he would do something and I want to be nice about it because he might not value that sacrifice in a sense.
Well, so let's talk about the dishwasher specifically. So the source of the conflict is that there's a way to load a dishwasher.
Oh my God, is this forks up, forks down?
Well, that isn't such a big deal except for certain types of forks. The main thing is just that you need the arm to spin and then you don't want water to like pool and then things need to be exposed to the sprayer.
Right.
All of that is like, that's the way to load a dishwasher. If you don't do that, then it's not going to get cleaned. Is that the end of the world? No. It just means you got to go in and clean some stuff again. But that is the source of our conflict on the dishwasher. And why is it to this day that's still a problem?
Well, I get the fan thing. I think it's just because every time you just get scared of me and then you'll just not explain all of it to me.
Right, because the time I tried to explain it to you, I didn't explain it gently enough, and therefore you were upset about the way I was explaining it. And since then, I'm wary of explaining things to you because I'm not sure if I'm explaining it right.
Right. Like now it's touchy.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah,
so now I don't want to do it because I'm assuming that you're going to get upset about it. But maybe enough time has passed that if I drop
a few.
The
problem is there's only one way to find out.
Exactly. I just got to go in and be like, look, here's the deal with this.
You're like, here's the deal. Oh, gosh, here we go.
The way I've been avoiding it is just I've done the dishes for 16 years. That's
well, that also happens, right? Like that also is like one way that people manage. It's like when you go home for the holidays, if you know your family has this weird opinion about something that you've done or your beliefs, you just avoid that topic.
Avoidance, yeah.
You know, and to some degree, that's effective at managing conflict.
Right. In our specific case, the question is there value in Puno knowing how to load a dishwasher, ultimately, you know?
I mean, I think so. I feel like now that I'm thinking about it, I could have proactively have gone to you and been like, okay, I'm ready. Let's talk about the dishwasher and lay out all the reasons, all the things that you're upset about. But I just haven't gotten to that.
We talk about lots of other stuff that you're less sensitive about than dishwashing.
Real quick, I think we need to take a little break, if you don't mind.
Yep.
So this episode is brought to you by iLoveCreatives.com. And there's a lot of fun things that you can do on there. I am the founder of it, but I also am a teacher. And we teach all sorts of fun stuff, like the video editing course. Have you seen our landing page for that?
I love it. And I also love everything I've seen about it. It's so cool.
It's got cats on it. And we teach you Adobe Premiere Pro by letting you, or by having you edit your own karaoke music video of Muad'Dib the Cat's hit single, Can Meet. All right, let's get back to the episode.
You know, like our personal finances is a less contentious topic than the dishwasher.
That's so crazy, but it's right. True. Like I was actually listening to this like vlog where this guy called in and he was talking about how he has $240,000 in debt, in student loan debt, and he didn't know how much his girlfriend had in student loan debt because she didn't want to talk about it. And then the guy was like, well, you better sign the divorce already because...
Well, that's the number one. That's the number two reason marriages fail. The number one is...
You listen to that one too?
No, I just know about why marriages fail because I'm single.
Wait, is number one the dishwasher? What was number one?
Number one is infidelity, yes, adultery.
Okay.
Number two is financial trouble, but they're both, if you think about it, they're both actually about trust and communication, right?
Well, so we're just the opposite then, because we already had the infidelity and we're still together.
Yeah.
And then...
And you're talking about money. Well, you're not doing such a great job of ruining your relationship, are you?
What's number three on the list?
We got to work our way.
I mean, the money thing is really interesting because we didn't have it when we started our business. And actually, I remember when we first had our first big money conversation was when you found out I had $10,000 in credit card debt. Because I just got out of college and then Daniel paid it off 0% interest. I paid you back though.
But is that how he proposed?
Oh no.
I proposed to clear your debt. I don't even know how I found that out. Was it just like looking at your credit card?
I think I told
Sneakily
you.
Looking.
I think I told you. I don't know.
Oh, you weren't ashamed of it.
I didn't know.
Oh, you didn't know it was
remember
a problem.
Because you were like, oh, you showed me what the interest rate, how that you explained to me interest rates.
Right, right.
So and you're I like, was like, you were what? Like, wait, so I'm broke. If what you say is true, if what you say is true, I'm broke. I guess one of the other meat and potato, I like this about the tension and how you, but like, tell me, you know, sort of more, maybe even more romantically, have you ever thought about what it would be like to not be married?
To not be married?
To each other.
Like, oh. Just as a concept or specifically?
To not be with each other.
Yeah, have you ever thought about it?
So personally, I'm okay with being with the same person a lot if I like that person. And the way I view relationships are there's a ton of stuff that you get out of it emotionally, and there are a few things that you don't get. So if you're single, you have way more options in like what you can do with your time and who you can spend it with, because you're not obligated to spend it with a certain person. But that doesn't necessarily mean you make use of that. It also comes at a cost, because it's more work to do all of that. So if you find somebody who you can spend a lot more time with, who you're super comfortable with, then like the trade-off is totally worth it for me. I also don't need to be around like tons of new people all the time. So I'm not really giving up that by being with one person.
Well, so I'm going to answer this a little differently. I think I tried to look for someone else that would like check all my boxes, if you will. And I never really found anyone. And it's not like you said, I'm like approachable, I'm extroverted, I meet a ton of people all the time. And I think after like 7 years of dating Daniel and just looking around all the time, I realized that one, we are really, really like, we make a lot of sense. And like, I just don't know. I guess like the cool thing about being or deciding that we were going to be married was I realized how much of a choice it is that you are choosing to work with and be with this other person, as opposed to it being like this
soulmate,
yeah, situation. And a lot of people look at that as compromise or whatever, but I look at it as like, this is who I want to work towards something with. I think that there was also a scenario where we could continue to not work together too. And I'm kind of, I mean, there's a part of me that's like, man, but it would be great if we could work together on things, and it's always amazing. But I don't think we've really like, one, found the business that makes that possible, and then two, figured out what that thing is that we're building together.
I still don't know if that's even possible to have that.
Yeah. Or it could not be possible to, yeah.
And I'm not actually striving for it.
I'm not either, but yeah. I'm not like, if it's an option, I'll try.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to be discouraged if it doesn't happen.
Right. I'll just do the dishes.
So do you think that the ultimate company is a baby?
Oh,
no.
God, no.
the ultimate collaborative project? Like, why build web apps when you could build a human?
Build a baby?
I mean, I think that, I don't know, man. Daniel's more, I feel like you're more on board.
With the baby?
Well, I guess we're around the same.
Yeah, we both still do not have a baby. Well, so you know why I would say that having the baby is not the ultimate collaboration, because pretty much anybody can have a baby. it's like one of the things that most of us just get by default. Building a business is actually much harder, and way fewer people can do that. So
really, I feel like building a business is not going to be as hard. I mean, building a baby, well, making a baby.
Put it this way, the definition of success around a business is easier to create clarity around than what a successful human life looks like.
Yeah.
at least at the onset, right?
Actually, no, our businesses do have those crises too. Like, what am I?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Whatever. I don't know. Just make money.
Well, so, maybe you should.
Doesn't
just,
matter.
Actually, that is ironically, that is what a lot of people tell their children. Yeah. I don't know. Just
make doesn't money. Matter what you do, as long as you make money.
You know what? I'll tell you what. All that is probably easier to figure out if you have money.
Yes.
True.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I really just need to jump in and tell you that as one of the other sponsors of the podcast, Citizens of Culture has a great newsletter. Right now, we have about 20,000 subscribers, and they love coming to us because we talk about all things cultural. We talk about art a little bit, but we really talk about the big ideas that relate to life, love, and business. So if you want to get some of that information, follow us at citizensofculture.com. Hit the subscribe button to our newsletter.
Beep. That was me. That was me touching. Maybe it's like a click. Click. That's me subscribing.
Awesome. Thanks, Puno. See you at the podcast.
Yeah, anytime.
Like with anything, being able to, I think, be on common ground and have a stable two-person relationship that before you bring the third person in, or have a stable two-person relationship before you bring additional complexity and collaboration in, it's probably like a good place to start. And I'm honored yeah. that you guys allowed me to be in your marriage, at least in the audio form.
Yeah, I mean, you're basic, Daniel. Like, I have to have Maceo because Daniel doesn't go out with me and isn't much.
You're checking one of the boxes, Maceo.
It's yeah. great. It's great.
I feel like having Daniel and I work together too has really made every conversation easy moving forward, because we've had to work through so much stuff. We have to talk so much. Mm-hmm. So talking about raising a kid to me is not going to be as hard.
Mm-hmm. I get a lot of energy from Puno because, I feel like when I'm by myself, I can get into loops in my brain. I can take it to negative places, but that all goes away when I'm with Puno. So I don't really even need like a whole letter to write about it. It's just like I feel better about the world when I'm with her.
Yo, dude, I'm starting to cry.
That's great. Well, I'm going to let you guys go and you guys can celebrate. You guys can take that energy and put it to use on that. I'm making a baby.
This is good. I had a lot of fun. Oh my gosh. One of the grossest things we've ever done was we were in the shower and I was like, what if you spit in my mouth? Like, just because, you know, it's so gross.
But we reasoned through it. We were like, but when you kiss, that's what you're doing.
Yeah, when you kiss, you like you just trade saliva. So I was like, it's the same thing. And I was just like, just do it. And then like Daniel like spit in my mouth. It's disgusting.
It's not the same.
So gross.
At all.
I don't know why I said that story. Because, oh yeah, it was something else gross that we did.
Yeah, I think we crossed the line.
Well, that was a fun episode.
They all are.
So if you felt that way too, we would love it if you could, well, Maceo, could you tell them what they should do?
If you could, just go ahead and drop us a million stars or as many as you think are are worthy as a little review and maybe tell us what you liked about it.
Yeah. And then our parents will be proud of us.
I can feel it already.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's fun
with Puno
and Maceo. Maceo and Puno.
It's Puno and Maceo.
Whatever.